This morning's sermon is called, He is Risen. He is risen indeed, amen? From the Gospel of Matthew. We're going to be in the Gospel of Matthew this morning, chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, last chapter in his Gospel, verses 1 through 20. He has risen indeed. Matthew recorded the greatest event in history of the world, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. Last Sunday was Palm Sunday, Jesus' triumphal entry as he made his way into Jerusalem. And this past Friday was Good Friday when Jesus went to the cross. And now is Resurrection Sunday. He is risen. Resurrection Sunday is a very special day to us Christians, because this is our victory in Jesus Christ, His resurrection. Once a year on Easter, we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. But for Christians, every day is a celebration of the risen, living Christ. Every Sunday is another celebration of the living, risen Christ. For Christians, Easter is all about Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's not about the Easter Bunny. Sorry to break the bad news to the chocolate bunny lovers, which I like those too. But this day is so much more important than that. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the crowning event in God's redemptive history. The resurrection is the cornerstone of Christianity. There would be no Christianity if there was no resurrection. And we know that. The resurrection is the cornerstone of our faith. The resurrection is the foundation of the gospel. No event in history reaches the importance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Without the resurrection, there is no gospel. And without the gospel, there'd be no salvation. That's how important this day is of our Lord. The passage that I want to share with you this morning took place on the day of Jesus' resurrection, 3 days after dying on the cross. This passage parallels what Mark and Luke and John wrote in their gospels as well. It's very similar in writing to those other gospel writers. Let's go through the Word of God. Let's take a look at our passage this morning. We're going to look at verses 1 and 2. Verses 1 and 2. Matthew wrote, "Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it." Mark recorded in his gospel that Salome was there as well. The Bible tells us that these very devoted women of Christ set off early in the morning to go to Jesus' tomb to anoint him with spices. And they were weeping as they were going. They just witnessed Jesus dying on the cross 3 days prior, and they were going there. And what these women did not know what was in store for them on how great this day was going to turn out for them. They were thinking that they were on their way to anoint Jesus' body, pay their respects to him, but they were in for a great surprise, as Matthew writes to us in the scriptures. Now, God didn't send down one of his angels to remove the stone so Jesus could get out. He could get out easily, as he did. He had his angel come down, roll away the stone, so the women could come in and see that Jesus was not there anymore. Luke recorded in his book that these devoted women were also at the crucifixion 3 days later and stayed all day and watch them take Jesus off the cross. That's in Luke 23, 55 through 56. I couldn't imagine what that looked like on that day as they took our Lord and Savior off the cross after being on the cross for 6 hours, dying for you and me so we could be forgiven. These devoted women were there and they watched Jesus be taken off the cross. They stayed all day, Scripture tells us, until they took him off the cross. Let's see what happens. Let's look at verses 3 through 6. It says, his, the angel's countenance, his expression, was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guard shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, don't be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lived. Come on in the tomb. Come see. It says the angel's appearance was like lightning, and his clothes as white as snow. It also says that the guards, when they saw the angel, they were like paralyzed in fear at the sight of the angel and became like dead men. Not a good day for them. Good day for the girls? Not so much for the guards. The angel said to the women, I love this. Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. Look what it says. As he said, he would. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. Come on, check it out. See where the Lord is not there. Just as he said. Now listen, if the tomb wasn't empty, we'd all be in big trouble. Right? Christ doesn't rise. This is all in vain. That's how important the resurrection of Jesus Christ is. We would all be in big trouble if he was still in the tomb. But he promised us he wouldn't be. And they witnessed it. Because I want you to really remember how important this day is. Because again, without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there's no gospel. That means there's no salvation for any of us. But because he's risen from the dead, we have victory in Christ, just as he told us we would. That's how important this day is. Just before Jesus' crucifixion, he said to his followers, he said, after I have been raised, I will go to Galilee. I will go before you to Galilee. That's in Matthew 26:32. This is why the angel tells us here, as he said he would. Remember, he spoke to you about these things, as he told you he would. Jesus' resurrection confirms everything that he said to be true. Jesus talked about this day in the Scriptures. He said that after dying on the cross, he would rise 3 days later from the dead, and he did. And we have all the witnesses, and it's all in the Scriptures. Over 500 people witnessed him after he rose from the dead. Let's take a look at verse 7 and 8. The angel said to the women, and go quickly and tell Jesus' disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So they went out quickly, probably really quickly, from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. It says that the women took off quickly, probably the fastest they've ever ran. They trembled with fear, but they were full of joy. This wasn't the day they were expecting. They were amazed. They took off running to tell the disciples, Jesus is risen just as he said he would. He told us He would. He promised us this. Let's take a look at verse 9 and 10. It says, "And as they," the women, "went to tell his, Jesus' disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, 'Rejoice.' So they came and held Jesus by the feet, and they worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me.'" Jesus tells them, "Rejoice." So the woman came and held Jesus by the feet, which tells us he wasn't in the spirit. He was still in the flesh. They held his feet. And they worshiped him. And Jesus told them, "Go," more running, "and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." More running, right? These girls could have ran the Boston Marathon on that day. They were filled with joy. They were just full of energy. I mean, this must have been an incredible day, right? The angels told the girls, "Go." And the girls took off. Jesus tells the girls, "Go." And they took off. These girls are running around like crazy. What a day. Let's take a look at verses 11 through 15. It says, "Now when they were going," running, "behold, some of the guards came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that happened. When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, 'Tell them his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept.'" Verse 14 says, "And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure." So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day, until the day he's writing his gospel. Once the Roman guards told the chief priest what had happened, they gathered together to develop a plan of deception. They paid the Roman guards to come up with a lie. Corruption within the priesthood. That's heartbreaking, huh? That is absolutely heartbreaking to read this part of this passage. Corruption within the priesthood. These were the same priests that were calling for Jesus to be crucified. They did not believe that Jesus was the Son of God, God in the flesh. They were lost in their false religion and blind to the truth. Sad to read that part. Let's take a look at verse 16 and 18. Verse 16 says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee," just as they were told, "to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw Jesus, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth.'" It says the 11 disciples went to Galilee, just as the Lord had told them. And when they saw Jesus, they worshipped him. Could you imagine being there? Amazing. Seeing God in the flesh. Wow. The Bible says every one of us is going to see him someday after this life. Every one of us. And we're all hoping for these words. "Well done, good and faithful servant." Amen? That's what we want to hear from the Lord. We probably won't even be able to stand. We'll be in such awe, we'll fall on our face. Right? But as long as we hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." It's all we need. It's all we need. The last thing we want to hear is, depart from me, I never knew you. That is the most tragic text in all the Bible, Matthew 7:23. I have not come across a more tragic text in all the Scripture than Matthew 23, when someone's standing before the Lord and says, Lord, Lord, and Jesus says, depart from me. I never knew you. That's why we've got to keep sharing the gospel, right? Did you notice here, right? Jesus, it says, and Jesus said to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. This is the same thing the Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesians. In Ephesians 1, verse 20 through 23, Scripture tells us, God the Father raised Jesus from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in which is to come. And he, God the Father, has put all things under Jesus' feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. All authority has been given to Jesus Christ from the Father. Everybody who has ever lived will stand before Jesus Christ. He'll either be your Savior or your judge, depending on your relationship with him. That's what the Bible says. Let's take a look at our final verses, verse 19 and 20. I want you to notice these two verses, how important these two verses are for us believers in Christ. Here's a command, right? We see commands in the Scriptures from our Lord Jesus Christ, right? Like, get baptized. After you come to Christ, go get baptized in my name. That's a command. It doesn't save us. We're not saved by water. We're saved by blood, his blood, right? We're saved by grace. But it is a command from our Lord Jesus Christ that after you come to him, full surrender, you'll go get baptized in his name. Here's another command right here we come across. Look at verse 19. Jesus said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, the whole world, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That's the Great Commission to all believers in Christ. Right there is the Great Commission. Here's the command from Jesus to his followers. Go make disciples. Go teach them what I have taught you in the Scriptures. Go. It is a think about it. He said, go. Go. When the opportunity arises, you get somebody in front of you, go. Jesus said, go. Share the faith. Let him know what I've done for you. I command you to do this as followers of mine. Tell others about me. Tell your family and friends about me. Tell them what great things I've done for you. Tell them how I saved you and I can save them. Go share the gospel. Go share the good news. Jesus commands all believers to go share our faith with others. Go share the good news. Right? That they can be forgiven of their sins and be given eternal life. As Christians, we're called to do this. And the Holy Spirit who lives within us is the one who helps us do this. You're not doing it on your own. He said, I'm going to send a helper. He's going to help you do these things. He's going to help you. And Jesus tells us, when you go and you do all these things that I have commanded you to do, I love this. He says, know this, I am with you always to the end of this age. I'm with you. So as he sees you speak to others, he's with you. And if you screw up, it's okay. It's the fact that you had enough courage and faith to step out and say, can I share the gospel with you? Can I tell you what Jesus has done for me? Jesus, he's there. I'm with you. I see this, and I'll help you. I'll help you with your words. Jesus talked about this day in the scripture. He said after dying on a cross, he would rise 3 days later from the dead, and he did, just as he said. And this is our victory in Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the heart of the gospel. It is the heart of our faith. Everything is held together by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Everything. And the resurrection proves the truthfulness of the Word of God. The Bible tells us just before Jesus died on the cross, which we went over on Good Friday, just before Jesus died on the cross, he said these three words, it is finished. And now we can add three more words to it. He is risen. Amen? Amen. Let's close in prayer. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this victory that you have given us on this day. This day is so much more than we even realize. So important. Everything is held together, Lord Jesus, by your resurrection. And we thank you, Lord, for this in Jesus' name, your precious name. Amen.